Hi, I'm Jessica McBride, and today's leadership quote is by Brené Brown. If you're not in the arena with the rest of us, fighting and getting your ass kicked on occasion, I'm not interested in your feedback.
The Leader Assistant podcast exists to encourage and challenge assistants to become confident, game-changing leader assistants.
With so much on your plate, wouldn't it be nice if ordering food for the office were easy and reliable? My friends at Easy Cater are workplace catering pros, helping you find food for everything from daily employee meals to staff meetings and special events. With Easy Cater's network of over 100,000 restaurants nationwide, you'll have a huge variety of options near you for any group size, dietary need, or budget. Your food arrives on time as ordered, all supported 24/7 by Easy Cater's team of experts. Visit easycater.com/leaderassistant to find out more. Hey friends, welcome to the Leader Assistant podcast. It's your host Jeremy Burrows, and you're listening to episode 211. You can check out the show notes at leaderassistant.com/211. leaderassistant.com/211. And today I am speaking with Jessica McBride. Jessica has been an executive business partner slash administrative professional with over 10 years of experience supporting executives. And she's passionate about communication and a bunch of other stuff. So Jessica, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
I'm so good. This is probably like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. So I'm very excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, what part of the world are you in?
I am just outside of Toronto, Ontario.
Nice, nice. I got to spend some time in Toronto, first time ever last year. And that was a fun little trip with the fam. It's a beautiful city, that's for sure.
It's interesting. You know, I'm from a really small town originally, just like outside. In Texas, actually. And so moving here and visiting Toronto is always very interesting for me. It's a little stressful. I get a little overwhelmed by the big city. So I'm kind of grateful we live just outside, like I said, just outside Toronto, about an hour away. And it's a bit more of a smaller town feel. And I do prefer that. But yeah, it's cool. I like Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I like big cities for visiting, but I don't know that I would want to live right smack in the middle of a big city.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So, do you work from home or work in the office? Both?
Yeah, I am fully remote. I work for a fully remote company called Duff Method. They're based out of New York. It's a software consulting company that has a focus on agile management. And it's kind of, it's consulting, so, and contracting. So if companies have a product that they need built, we have engineers and product managers that can, you know, be contracted and build the product for them. So it's a pretty cool industry.
Nice. And how long have you been with them?
Just about 2 years now.
Nice. And then did you have software world experience before this, or is this your first dive into that world?
When I moved to Canada in 2015, the area that we live in is kind of like jokingly known as like Silicon Valley North. And I knew that when I moved here, I wanted to transition into working in the tech industry. Like I honestly, I just heard it had a lot of great perks. And I was like, I really want to like get in on this. And so I started focusing my job search on companies specifically that I could use my previous experience to kind of get into a non-technical role at a tech company. And so, you know, as soon as I was like back in the workforce here, I was like, you know, I wanted to work in tech. So like I said, spent some energy and some time kind of hunting down jobs, finally got a break, and have been at a couple of different companies since then.
Nice. And I'm looking at your LinkedIn and it looks like you were in sales for a while. Is that right?
Sales support. I cannot do sales to save my life. Don't have the personality for that. But I think that there's some core traits like at sales support versus like being an executive assistant where we tend to be in service of other people and kind of get gratification from that. And that was part of doing self-support that I always recognized that I could use in an executive assistant role, is that I didn't enjoy like the data and the analytics behind it as much as I enjoyed the, you know, being helpful and, you know, making sure that things in the background were getting taken care of.
Nice. So then the executive assistant or even just the support admin role, how did you end up getting into this world in the first place?
I was working at a tech company when right at the beginning of COVID, and they did not onboard well. And by onboard well, I mean, I did not get any onboarding and it destroyed my mental health. Like I was really in a bad place because of it. Mm. And to the point that, you know, a friend was like, you should try freelancing. And I was so done at this job that I quit, like just like hard quit. And was like, I'm going to try freelancing for a little bit. So I started working with some different clients and I started working with Deaf Method and I really had such a great experience. And I was just like, this is finally what I'd been looking for in terms of the culture and the trust and like the, you know, autonomy that I was given in a role. And mm-hmm. so I was just like, we decided to work together on a longer term basis. And it's just been such a great experience for me.
That's great. And what's your maybe top one or two tips as far as working from home?
I don't know, because I love working from home. It's never been a struggle for me. It was a very natural transition for me to like starting to work from home. I have ADHD and it's, you know, my attention, it kind of ebbs and flows. So for me, like working from home has been such an absolute boon for creativity. I'm just so much more able to focus. But I guess really just making sure that you have a quiet space. My husband and I, actually, we both work remotely. And we've had to take our secondary, you know, our guest bedroom basically into another office because it's so difficult to like both have meetings that we were mm-hmm. just having meetings on top of each other. So just making sure that you have a really nice quiet space. And I do like, I want to get involved with co-working, like start attending a co-working space because I do kind of miss a little bit of human interaction, but never enough to like fully go back to an office.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. I like remote. I like my space. I like my quiet. I like just sitting in a dark closet, getting things done.
Yes, I know. It's ideal.
So one thing I thought was cool, you shared your bio, which I'll share in the show notes for those listening, leaderassistant.com/211. But you mentioned the statement to kick off your bio was Jessica is an emotionally intelligent and organized business partner. What does it mean in your mind to be emotionally intelligent?
Are you ready to elevate your career in 2024? I'm Maggie Olson, founder of Nova Chief of Staff Certification, the first of its kind online course for aspiring and existing chiefs of staff. With curriculum taken directly from on-the-job responsibilities, Nova's self-paced learning modules provides you with hands-on experience so you can feel competent and confident moving into a chief of staff style role. It's the perfect next step for executive assistants. Head to leaderassistant.com/Nova to learn more, grab the syllabus, and enroll today.
Well, I kicked off with the quote by Brené Brown, and I think that I see a lot of what I want to be in a leader in Brené Brown and the concept of being emotionally intelligent and working with people as people and understanding that they're human beings and putting the person first, I think is really a big priority for me. Mm-hmm. I always struggled with traditional ideas of leadership. I never really saw myself in any kind of leadership position for a long time because you don't often see these values reflected in leadership. So reading through Brené's work has been such, it's been very like emotional for me, and that like it's, I can finally see myself growing into a leadership role someday because of the example that she has set.
Yeah, speaking of Brené, she, you know, she talks about vulnerability a lot. What does it look like to be vulnerable in the workplace?
Something that I found within my company, the company culture currently, is that we put a lot of focus on humility and, you know, how that shows up in the workplace. Also, you know, being vulnerable and showing humility is being able to say, like, I don't understand what's going on. Can you answer this question? You know, it's a very open atmosphere of no question is off limits. And I think that there was a big, it was a big step for me when I started realizing that I don't actually care if somebody in the room thinks that I sound stupid when I ask a question, because for so long I would, you know, kind of keep my thoughts to myself because I thought, well, no, there's no way that everybody must be thinking this. There's no way that I could have like a unique idea. And so, you know, being given the autonomy and the safety, like the psychological safety to be able to just ask like the dumbest of questions or throw out, you know, an idea and not have to worry about any type of like ridicule or being treated poorly because of it has been really huge for, as you know, being able to be vulnerable in the workspace.
Yeah, that's great. Oftentimes we hold back, like you said, because we think, oh, what do we have to offer? And it's like, that's part of finding our voice is, you know, remembering that we do have something to offer. And even if we say something that doesn't really help or was already said, or somebody else was thinking it, it, you know, it doesn't matter. It's
you tried, at least you tried.
Exactly. So what about, speaking of finding your voice, how are there any other tactics or things that have helped you learn to find your voice and use your voice in your company and in the companies you've worked with?
Yeah. And this one's pretty funny actually is, I took a course through, this like life coach that I know, and it was called F Perfect. And it really was about how our need to be perfect in life stops us from really like fulfilling like happiness in life and being successful. It stops us from so many things. And I think this also like, you know, kind of ties into like no longer being afraid to ask a stupid question is that I'm no longer paralyzed by this idea that everything has to be 100% perfect. I'm a much more efficient decision maker because if I feel like 80% solid about something, like I'm going to go with the 80% option. I don't need to exhaust look under every stone and really just try my best. I'm sorry, that sounds really bad. I do try my best to be good, but I don't hold this concept over my head anymore that like everything has to be perfect at all times.
Right. Yeah. It's very freeing when you realize, and you know, the funny part of the whole perfectionism is that like, it's actually impossible to be perfect. So
exactly.
So are you going to really, you know, try to be perfect and try and just be unsatisfied your whole life or just let it go?
Yes, exactly. And I got just so tired of, you know, and I realized like how much it was holding me back from is that like, I really was afraid to try new things. And once I was able to, you know, get past that idea, it opened up this world of possibilities for me of, you know, how many other hobbies can I try? Because I don't have to be good at them. Like, you don't have to be good at something to enjoy doing it. And that was a really big eye-opening like moment for me as well.
That's great. So you work in tech and work at a software consultant company. How have you personally used technology to improve your, you know, in your role and your day-to-day work?
Yeah, well, I've always been very passionate about technology and using it in the sense that, like, I grew up, I think I kind of grew up in that perfect sweet spot of being like a millennial, where I always kind of had a computer available to me from a very, like, you know, maybe like six or seven. We were lucky enough to have a computer. And it was something that I learned in school. I was constantly using, and I've consistently utilized technology to kind of make my life easier in a lot of ways. And I think that there's just so much technology out there that people aren't even aware of exists, that we're constantly reinventing the wheel. And it's especially like executive assistants. There's so many like tasks that we do that they don't need to be this difficult. They don't need to be this time consuming. And so lately, the thing I've really gotten into is ChatGPT, which has been really interesting. And I'm not, like, I'm not an expert. I'll never pretend to say that, like, oh, I know so much about AI, but I've gotten into using the program to see how much kind of work that we can make easier as an executive assistant, and not to like be replaced. I know that a lot of people have concerns about like AI replacing our role specifically, but I don't know that I really see that happening, in the sense that people are always going to need someone else to learn technology for them. And I think that it's really important in our role that we are utilizing technology and that we're staying up with current trends, because there's so much available and we know how valuable our time is. Why not try and save a little bit of time here and there so that we can continue to be the strategic leaders that we want to be?
Yeah. So speaking of ChatGPT, what's maybe an example or two of how you've used it or helped your team use it?
Yeah. So I was just playing around with it. I'm currently recovering from a knee injury, so I have a ton of time on my hands. So I've been playing with ChatGPT, and I really was just kind of interested to see, you know, what kind of use cases that I could put together and use for it. So I started, you know, I'm in a couple of different executive assistant communities. And so I started testing problems that they were posting within the community just to see like what would be the output. So some of the things that I've tested were, there was one person who needed ideas for those two different cities in Japan. And she was trying to say, you know, oh, what kind of itinerary, what should I consider? And, you know, I was able to just basically copy and paste exactly what she put into, you know, onto the post and put it into ChatGPT. And ChatGPT spits out an itinerary, or I'm sorry, two different itineraries, as well as comparing the cities for saying, like, this is what they're known for. And the thing with ChatGPT is that it doesn't have information past 2021, but there are a lot of things that we do that don't need current information for. So, you know, for example, standard operating procedures, I've had to write those, or onboarding outlines. And, you know, the way that we can use it is, how many times has your CEO come to you and said, I need you to put together something, and you have no reference to what that means? Like, you've never done it before. You know, how much of my, like, our entire adult career is, like, I was really shocked when I started, you know, working in offices, how much of my job was that, of just people being like, I need you to do X, but nobody's ever done it before, so I just need you to sort it out. And it really is great for giving you a baseline understanding of what you need to put together. So it's like, give me the steps for a standard operating procedure for using the company credit card. And then it prints out, you know, spits out eight sentences on these are the steps to use. And then, you know, you can go and modify them to be more company specific. It's not going to have details about your company, but these are templates and ideas that we can use. And it just saves so much researching time and trying to find this very niche thing that probably another company hasn't made exactly, but, you know, hasn't outlined for.
Yeah, I've used it a few times for just that, like basically creating a draft so that you're not staring at a blank Google Doc or, you know, a blank piece of paper. You got something to work with. It's I find it's a lot easier to crank out a project if you can start with something versus nothing.
Yeah, it really helps to generate ideas. And to me, it feels a lot like when Google first existed and you would go to Google and you could actually get like a consensus of information. But nowadays, Google, it's like you go and you're like, I need to, you know, Google how to make a standard operating procedure. And the first three listings are ads for companies that will build you a standard operating procedure. And then maybe there's like a, you know, list of like companies, best top 10 best companies that will make standard operating procedures. And it's just always such a hassle to sort through it all at this point. So to get just like a very clear and concise guide of what you need to do is a big help. You know, another way that it's been really neat is that you can compare, you know, create SWOT analysis of different companies. So, you know, helping support a sales team, I have a lot of interest in who are our competitors? What are they doing? You know, how can we, you know, how can I help the sales team to be more tactical? So, you know, doing a SWOT analysis of like our top three competitors, and it goes through and, you know, talks about this is what a possible pro is, this is what a possible con is, has been really, really helpful for me too as well. And it's just this idea of, I don't know, it's a really neat model. I'm really enjoying using it.
Yeah. What's, have you learned anything as you've been using it? Like any tips or tricks on what prompts are better than others, or what maybe needs that you have are better fit for a tool like that versus it's not really helpful?
Yeah. So one of the ways that like you can kind of work with ChatGPT is you tell it how you want it to respond. So you say, I want you to blank. And it's kind of like a role play situation where it's like, I want you to pretend to be the CEO of a tech company. And then, you know, you ask, respond with five different goals that an executive might have. And then, you know, you can kind of target and give it more information. It's, you know, it's only going to be as good as the information that it, you give it. But other ways that it, you know, it's really cool is that it can learn to respond in your voice. So you can give it writing samples and it will, even then you can say like, write an email explaining this in my voice, and it'll write that awkward email for you that you've been avoiding for 3 days. Like, I don't know. It's been really helpful.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And I think it's just like anything, whether it's, you know, workflows and automations, or like you mentioned Google when it first came out, and you know, you can even go back farther, the internet when it came out, like you just have to learn to adapt and embrace the new technology and figure out how to use it for your benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's just another tool. And not everybody is going to ever learn all the tools in the world. So by staying like on, you know, up on technology and learning all these new, you know, skills, you're only going to set yourself above.
Right. Awesome. Well, thanks for chatting. It's been fun. I actually have one more question that I saw on your LinkedIn, headline or whatever you subheader, whatever you want to call it on LinkedIn profile. And it said aspiring chief of staff. Can you tell us a little bit about what made you want to put that on there? Why are you aspiring to be a chief of staff? What draws you, to that role?
What I really like about chief of staff is that it encompasses so much of what we do as executive assistants, but it's the first time that I've ever seen my skill set represented in leadership as well, in the sense of all the areas that we touch and all of the ways that we interact with the different departments. And I said, I want to move into that someday. And I don't know, I read it somewhere about, you know, for job hunting or in general, like you want to make it known that this is like what your career goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's been a good conversation starter for different people.
Nice.
And I think that, you know, it's something that like I definitely aspire to like later on in my career. It's, you know, something that I definitely probably need more some experience with. But I think that you're seeing the chief of staff position more and more in tech companies. And I believe that it's showing recognition for the level of leadership work that we often do.
Yeah, definitely. I agree and I love it. I just was curious to hear the little bit of backstory. So thanks for sharing.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, let's see. Oh, is there anywhere, like if people want to reach out and say hi, is LinkedIn the best? Is there anywhere else that they can get a hold of you? And is it okay if they reach out and say hi?
Yeah, for sure. I added my LinkedIn to the profile. So you can always add me on LinkedIn or shoot me a message. I'd love to chat about ChatGPT. And yeah, I don't know. It was really great. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Jessica. Thank you. And best of luck to you in Canada. And we'll be in touch. And I appreciate you being on the show.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Please review on Apple Podcasts. GoBullos.com.